Next talk is from Gary O'Leary from Australia, Victoria, Australia. He's going to talk about grain quality and cropping system changes from reduced wheat nitrogen content under elevated CO2.
Thank you, Bingra. Thanks. Unfortunately, the senior author, Glenn Fitzgerald, couldn't make it today. Despite this being his hometown, everything conspired against him and he couldn't make it. And I, passing Phoenix on holiday, have got the task to give this talk. I always used to tell my staff, colleagues, co-authors should be able to present the talks anyway. So, here we go. This is about rising CO2 levels. We know that CO2 affects C3 plants because it reduces the need for Rubisco, leading to less leaf, plant and grain nitrogen concentration. We have increased carbon uptake, leading to increased biomass and yield, and increases early season growth and stomatal closure, leading to increased water use efficiency. And it's the interactions between environments and the biotic factors that are really key to adaptation to the new environment. You'll see there, when we started our experiments 10 years ago, the CO2 level was 365 in the day, 385 overall. Now it's over 400 parts per million. And the rising CO2, there's no dispute or debate about that in the climate change world. Just a little bit about Australia. Those who've never been there, it is a great place. I wish I had a photo of a kangaroo and koala. But wheat is a very big, important crop worth $5.5 billion in annual exports. Most of it's produced in Western Australia. And we've done our experiments there in red, a place called Horsham, and Walpyup. And the second largest area is Southeast Australia. You can grow wheat closer to the coast, but there are other more economic things to do there. Wine, dairy, and so on. Our FACE experiment, it's been now 10 years, is looking at raising the CO2. We raised it to 550 parts per million to reflect 2050 year. We've been measuring the yield, trait testing, so I'm interested in the traits, Wally, very interesting stuff. The grain quality for bread making, extreme events of high temperature, using chambers, fertiliser use, water use, pests and diseases and soil type. Quite a range of effort over these years. We looked at wheat primarily, but we've also looked at peas, lentils and canola. And some of this work's already published. But this is going to concentrate about grain quality mostly. And the nitrogen uptake is increased under elevated CO2. About 21% more nitrogen is taken up in the vegetation. That's because you're getting more carbon levels there. However, we get reduced grain protein. And if you look at these graphs here, you'll see the CO2 response, 100%, so we're below that. So these are reduced. And these are cultivars across the x-axis, various cultivars. Under rain-fed conditions, the purple and blue supplemental irrigation. And I'm sorry we don't have the statistics on these graphs. The guys couldn't provide it last week when we noticed it missing, but it is significant statistically. And some of this work has been published by Joe Pinozzo in 2014. This is including this year. But we see here strong interactions between reduced grain protein, water supply and different cultivars. And there is a hint there that cultivars are going to be attract a lot of attention in managing the high CO2. When you come to making bread, and we value our quality in Australia, we think it's the best in the world. However, with high CO2, we've got a real problem. You see this graphic photo of the bread over here under ambient conditions. You have a large loaf. That's what's desired. Under high CO2, you have reduced volume, and this has reduced 17%. Again, with rain-fed conditions and supplementary irrigation, you see strong interactions with cultivar of wheat against the reduction in loaf volume that we're making here. Some of this early work's also been published by Joe Pinozzo as well. So, I wasn't going to talk much about modelling, but I couldn't help myself, Ken. But this is just a regression analysis here showing loaf volume and grain protein. Clearly, the volume is related to the protein levels, and you can see the blue dots are the ambient conditions, and the elevated CO2s, the purple squares. And this is a significant interaction, so that at the low protein levels, high CO2 has lower loaf volume. And this is a big shock to people in this quality space. Very strong interaction of CO2 and cultivar. Again, the interest will be on how we select cultivars in the future to manage this. There's also an issue of the classification. In Australia, we have various classifications for grade, and our H1 hard Australian hard wheat classifications level at 13%. This is the high protein, this is lower protein. And so if you get high CO2, you're going to force yourself down here more often. If you add another cultivar, you'll see a jump in the graphs. And we've just added this green and orange cultivar. This is called Jance under ambient, the green. And when you add CO2 under that condition, again, you're getting this stronger, lower volume. And that's around 100 centimetres, cubic centimetres less than the other cultivar. Clearly, the importance of cultivar can't be understated here. And our model, the regression model, explained 82% of the variation in loaf volume. The question is how we might get our APSIM-type models, our DISAT-type models, to predict this kind of quality parameter that's more interested by the end users of wheat. Other aspects from our work have shown also reduced iron and zinc content in the grain. This was published by Myers in 2014. There's a large reduction in iron, zinc. You see the red mark here, 14% reduction in one cultivar. They're all about the same, these different cultivars, but for iron, in blue here, less reduction than zinc, but it's much more varied between the cultivars. So the question is, how are we going to manage this high CO2 environment? And what program, what plan have we got to get cultivars that can reduce this problem? And it's a debate we're having now. Another aspect about our experiment is we've had high CN ratios of the wheat straw, and that's been increased over the years by 8%. Now, I'm not sure how significant that 8% is. It's believed that will cause progressive nitrogen limitation. But if you notice, the CN ratio does vary from year to year in the experiment, from around 50 up to near 100. So is that, despite that significant increase in CN ratio, is that important? We don't know. And just one more aspect on the pests and diseases. Again, a very striking problem. We have in our graph here, the ambient CO2 level, this is percent of nitrogen in the leaves. With Barlaella dwarf virus, infected plants having lower concentration, but under elevated CO2, they have higher concentration than they would in a healthy plant. So strong interactions. Lower leaf nitrogen means that the aphids need to feed longer, and they've actually measured that. This is an aphid here with an antenna. It's actually an electrode that they measure current when he pokes his whatever proboscis into the plant. He can completes the current, and they can actually plot and measure how many times and hours they feed on these leaves, and they've worked out that's increasing the infection levels under these trials. So the question is, under elevated CO2, leaf end in the virus-infected plants is relatively greater than the non-ones, the non-infected plants, and there's increased virus severity. How are we going to manage this? So to conclude, the lower quality grain from the elevated CO2 is problematic. It is a problem. Additional fertiliser does not completely overcome the problem. We haven't shown you that data, but our experiments have had very high levels of fertiliser and added fertiliser, and we've not been able to reduce that problem of quality decline. Now, bakers can add additives to improve quality. That's what they tell us, but it's going to cost more, and it'll be more variable from problems that they'll have. You may be able to biofortify the crops to increase micronutrients, but you're going to have to manage this under drought and high temperature, a problem in Australia. Clearly, genetic improvement's the way to go. You need to select more nitrogen use efficient cultivars, for instance. How do we do that? We have to select it under conditions that we experience there. And we need to focus on bread quality parameters, maybe at a given protein content for new cultivars, something that's not done at the moment. In cropping systems, there's this fear of increased progressive nitrogen limitation. It's there, it's not been proven, we don't think. And the higher yields need more nutrients anyway. And I didn't show you the yield response data, but that's around 25% in biomass, leaf area, and yield. And pests, we need to select for resistant lines that reduce the impact on grain quality. We've had a very large team. This is our field-based team, and lots of people around the world involved. For some reason the next slide doesn't come. It might come. Maybe there's a delay. And we've got to acknowledge the Australian Grains Research and Development Corporation, the University of Melbourne, partners in this project, the Federal Department of Agriculture and Water Resources for funding, and the Australian Research Council, and some other colleagues who helped who are not formally part of the team. And that's our wonderful place at Horsham, the Grains Innovation Park. If you ever want to come and visit us, you're welcome.